hi, my name's Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One and Only Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 22nd of July 2009. If you could please state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Hello, my name is Paul Hutchinson. I'm 45, from Belfast.
And how are you doing today, Paul?
I'm pretty chilled, but it looks high and the adrenaline's starting to pump.
So how did you initially hear about the project?
I think it was through The Guardian, and saw some details, and that's how it started.
And what actually inspired you to put yourself forward?
Two things. One, the attraction of being part of something by the artist Anthony Gummler. And two, this location is a war memorial, and I wanted to do something around peace.
So how did you actually feel when you found out that you had been offered a place?
I thought, that's going to change my summer, and I was excited, and yeah, excited, slightly daunted, but looking forward to it.
And what are you actually planning on doing on the plinth?
Planning to be wearing an army combat outfit and reading the list, a list of those who've died in the Troubles in the North of Ireland conflict.
Okay. And is this something that is quite close to your heart?
I work as a peace builder and mediator, and so yes, it's very personal and very sensitive, very open to misinterpretation.
And how long have you been involved in this for?
Well, when you grow up in Belfast, you kind of are surrounded by it, and you're always impacted by it. We were put out of our house when I was 10 years old. My father was, well, we were all involved in different things. So I guess formally for about 25 years.
And when did you actually start the kind of the peace involvement? Peace building.
Formally started to train as a mediator in 1994. And it's an apprenticeship model. Start off with someone more experienced and try not to mess it up. And eventually, if you don't mess it up too much, you end up teaching other people how to do that. So.
And through what means? What have you?
I have a kind of various background in that I, first of all, trained as a therapist. And so there's transferable skills there. And I counseled lots of people impacted and grieving from the Troubles, and also perpetrators of the violence. Then as a mediator, that's about third-party interventions in conflicts, and also building up communities' capacity for them to deal with it, and then training people to deal with conflict and violence themselves. I also have my own company, which is Imagined Spaces, which is about creative community relations, because I also have an arts background. So I would do workshops around photography, drama, film, music.
And who are you aiming this at when you say community? Anybody who wants to get involved?
Who am I aiming the work that I do at?
Exactly.
It depends who's going to pay me. It's everything from councils to communities who have heard about me, and it kind of, Northern Ireland's a small place, so you get known very, very quickly. And then I specialised in parading disputes for 2 years, which was very demanding and quite threatening at times. So you just develop a relationship and a reputation, although rarely a public reputation, because a lot of this work happens privately.
Where are you currently living?
South Belfast.
And how do you think your work and the work of other people has helped Belfast in this respect?
If you can teach people how to deal with their own conflict, it's great, because there's conflict in every relationship. Conflict isn't always bad. It can actually be very creative, very energising. So if we can teach people how to deal with their own conflict. They don't need people like me to ride in on white horses and save the day. And also, if a conflict starts to manifest itself, it's usually only a symptom of what's been happening for years and years. So trying to teach people how to be systemic, to think systemically, and also looking at alternatives to violence for people who have only known that wisdom in their terms, as to as we have to protect or we have to protest violently. So I want to offer options that are still powerful.
And do you have direct contact with people who are of this type of thinking?
Yes. What need to ask me another supplementary question on that one? Well, what do you want to know?
Just how you work with them.
Well, again, it's initially reputation and by invitation. So you do a little piece of work. So, for example, if there's interface violence, sometimes we would be called out to negotiate as honest and trusted people between the different disputants. The first thing to do there is obviously to try to get people to stop historically shooting at each other, fighting with each other, blowing each other up, and then start negotiating as to getting them how to name the issues and see what will happen in terms of do they want a face-to-face contact, do they want to do it through intermediaries, to do shuttle mediation. There's a variety of different ways. Other times it's about exploring identity. Territory is extremely important, flags, boundaries, turf. So I would use things like photography to get both sides. Literally you could have a wall which separates two communities. Take photographs from one side, show it to the other. Take photographs from the other side, pass it over. So lots of creative techniques, because sometimes if you go too head on to a conflict, it's not advisable. A lot of it's about reputation, patience, timing.
Just to focus on the arts, have you always been involved in the arts? Have you always been quite a creative person?
Always been involved in the arts, as a bad musician in a punk band, to writing lovesick poetry, to now I've just finished a documentary about a cheerleading squad in South Belfast. They come from a very rough working class Protestant area. It's called Prods and Pom Poms. So I've done music, writing. I do a weekly blog for the Ulster Museum, and a book's coming out in that in October. So always been involved for my own sanity, and now I sometimes get paid for it as well.
And just to go back to this project,
yeah,
on the plinth. So what are you actually taking up with you?
My combat outfit and a book called Lost Lives, which documents the list of those who have been killed in the conflict in the north of Ireland over the last 40 years.
And what are your hopes and fears, expectations for your hour slot?
My hope is that I don't fall down, that I don't cry, although I'll deal with that if I have to. My hope is that there's at least some resonance of a man standing in an enemy outfit, and that would connect not only to Northern Ireland via the stream, but also to the various other conflicts that are out there at the moment. So, surrounded by images of war, I'm trying to offer some sort of contradiction, and it's widely open to misinterpretation. So that's my fear. Fear is that I fall down, which I'm sure I won't. And fear is that it'll become too emotional, because this is deeply personal stuff. And the fear is that people back home will say, "Who do you think you are, mentioning my son, my granny, my daughter?" And I'm aware that it's hallowed ground when you talk about the dead. And we're still dealing with how to reconcile the past. some people want to draw a line. How do you draw a line if it was your dad who was killed? He's not present at the dinner table. So those are my hopes and my fears. It's not really, in a sense, it's quite a small performance. I'm not really trying to shout to the whole world. And the stream will hear you, but most of the people outside probably won't get it, but might get something.
And how is your work, how is it received by other people in your community?
For some people it's, well, there's lots of communities where I live, so I live in a semi-detached house. Those people are the chattering classes, so they'll think it's quite profound in a chatty way. Other people will think, why is he doing that? Why is he bringing up all these names? And these could be people who have committed the violence for whatever reason, or those who are still grieving. So how will it be received? And how is the art stuff normally received? Some people will think I'm an arse. Others who've never been in anything like an art gallery might be curious.
And what's your ultimate aim today?
To bear witness to the dead and the living, to say, at least to myself, that peace building is worth it and risky. So if I had a title, it would be Standing for Peace Despite the Fear of Falling Down. So it's about the risk of standing for peace.
And is this something that you're purely doing for where you come from, or are you wanting to promote it to the outside world as well?
No, it certainly will have a resonance in Northern Ireland more than other places, but there are conflicts raging all over the world. They are trying to deal with how you deal with violence, conflict, territory. And London is a capital city currently at war in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I think personally for me it has resonances. I'm not standing on a plinth to preach. I'm standing on a plinth asking people to think about the consequence of war, which is people get killed, and that there are also countless non-violent revolutions all over the world happening that rarely get documented.
And so it's quite a general question, but can I ask just your ideas on peace? As an idea of what?
That's a very broad question. I'll try my best. I think you have to build peace. And there's a Jewish scripture in the book of Psalms, Psalm 85, that is used in different mediations at times, whether you're religious or not, and it talks about where mercy and truth kiss and peace and justice embrace, and mercy and truth don't normally touch each other, and peace and justice. So the notion is that without those four things you can't have true peace and reconciliation. So mercy is always saying there, come on now, and that feeling, giving way. But if someone has died or someone has been hurt, why should you be merciful? The truth, we all need to know the truth, but what does that mean if you don't show mercy? Peace, justice. So in a sense they're incompatible, but that's my understanding of peace. It's not just the absence of conflict. I believe there's you know, social, religious, political, spiritual implications to all of peace building. And it's too long a subject for this interview.
And can I just ask you who's with you today?
My daughter Alice, who's 13.
And will anybody be watching you online?
Yes, I think there should be a fair few people watching for at least 5 or 10 minutes, because I don't know how interactive it is. And some friends from London are here as well, 4 or 5 friends from London.
What does your family mean to you?
My family, I'm married to Joanne. Alice is outside. Lucy's 6, and they're very precious to me. But some lifestyle I've led has often meant that it's been periods of absence, long nights, being threatened, coming home stressed and not really being able to chat to people. So there's a real tension for me around family and the occupation or vocation that I'm involved with. So family is very precious to me, central to me being able to do the work, but it's also when my children want to chat or play, they don't want to know about what I was doing on a plinth. They want me, and they want me to be present and focused on their toenails, their lipstick, their hair, the toilet, all of those mundane things that make up life.
And how do you think, as an individual, you fit into the kind of the whole project, if you will?
I have no idea. I mean, I've watched some of the stuff happening, and it either falls into kind of quite playful stuff or semi-serious stuff. I haven't seen it all, so I don't know how to compare it. I haven't been avidly watching it. I don't know if there's been much like what I've just described, but if there has, that's good, and if there hasn't, it doesn't matter. So I don't know how I'm gonna how I fit. I don't know if I've been the first to wear R&B combat outfit. I suspect I am. So I don't know how I'm gonna fit, and that's kind of secondary to it being my R and trying to be intentional in that R.
And do you see your hour as a performance or just purely visual?
Because you won't be able to hear me from around Trafalgar, most of it will be visual. But the streaming should be able to pick up because we are mic'd. So I think that it'll be a mixture. I'm deliberately not going to try to engage with people shouting up or responding. So I'm not going to try to create a relationship like that. I'm going to try to allow it to be a reflective process of reading the horrors of all those dead. So it's not really a cheery piece. And I'm not going to juggle for a finale. And that's what it is.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.